Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 114 of the Men in Science Podcast. Yes, I'm back to doing regular episodes of this podcast, not just live streams and movie reviews and other stuff like that, which those will keep on coming eventually. Not talking too loud into the microphone, am I? I mean, kind of have it a little close to me right now. And I'm recording this pretty late at night because I had been putting it off all week because I started a new job earlier this week and was in training for Monday and Tuesday and had Wednesday off. I'm recording this late Wednesday night. And so, yeah, here I am. This episode is all about 2021 SummerSlam. It's kind of funny because my last pay-per-view predictions podcast that I did last year was for SummerSlam 2020. And I ended up not watching that pay-per-view, funnily enough, but I will be watching SummerSlam 2021 because it's not exactly the best card, but honestly, doesn't look like it's going to be a terrible show either. But I will say right now, I'm actually more excited for these SmackDown matches than I am for the Raw matches. But let's get right to these predictions, and we have the first matchup. It is AJ Styles and Omos defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the team of RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Matt Riddle. And this has been a story that's been kind of building up for, honestly, I think about 2 months, because Orton has been out, guessing on vacation. I don't know. I mean, he's been with the company about 20 years, so he has the kind of pull where he can just come in and out whenever he pleases. And then Matt Riddle had been building up that he loves Randy Orton, and they're bros, obviously, because this whole thing is about bro. And, he'd been just getting into it with AJ and Omos, and so now they're finally having this match after finally building it up, and Orton has finally embraced Matt Riddle and shown him respect as of this past Monday on Raw. I'm kind of excited about this match to see how it's going to go. It's just, I really don't care about Omos, and he doesn't impress me at all. I mean, I'm not the most athletically gifted person, but Omos, he literally just slam, choke slam, body slam, this is my house. That's it. That's all he does. He doesn't do anything of substance, barely has any style. That's, AJ is the one carrying the team. That's all I can say. And Orton and Riddle, their work speaks for themselves. I mean, like I said, Orton's been there for about 20 years, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, no doubt about that. Matt Riddle, I'm a fan of Matt Riddle. I understand some people don't like him that much, especially some people I follow on Twitter. That's fine. That's not prerogative. But the way I'm looking at it right now, with the storyline building up, I'm predicting for RK-Bro to come out victorious. Unless they swerve us and they end up going to the next pay-per-view, which I think would be Clash of Champions, and they win it there. But we'll see. And next up we have is Eva Marie versus Alexa Bliss. And yeah, I couldn't care less about this match, honestly. Even though I do like Alexa Bliss, and I am sort of becoming a fan of Eva Marie, because she's, in spite of what we've seen since her return in the last couple of months, from stuff I've actually heard and read, she has improved a lot in the ring. It's just because of her character and her persona. And hope the camera's not shaking too much, because I'm balancing all of this on some suitcases right now, because I don't have a formal desk for me to be doing this. But anyways, we're supposed to hate her character. I mean, it's obvious. The way she's being portrayed on TV, we're supposed to hate her. So everyone that's mad and hates her and they want her to get off of TV, that's exactly what she's wanting. That's exactly what the character is supposed to be doing. That's the kind of reaction it's supposed to be getting from us. So she's doing her job, bro. Well, rather. So, yeah. And Bliss, I'm sure when we get to SummerSlam this Saturday, it's going to be a lot of we want Wyatt chants during this match. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be a kind of a short nothing match with a lot of tricks and gimmicks and shit. Probably Alexa Bliss is going to most likely win. But, honestly, either way, couldn't care less about this. But moving on. The next match is another one that's kind of, people are just like, whatever the fuck, is Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Now, I understand why a lot of people don't care about this one, because honestly, I don't care that much about it either. But at the same time, I am a fan of Drew McIntyre, and I am kind of a Jinder Mahal fan as well. And the way they've been building up with, Drew and the Sword, Angela, I believe is the name. The way I, and I've talked about it with my brother and a couple other people, like, if this doesn't, if the big payoff for this is not a some kind of sword fight between Drew and Jinder, then I'll be very disappointed, because this, to me, this story calls for that kind of match, and I hope that's what we're going to get. Now, as far as what this match is going to be, I think it's actually going to be a pretty good match. I mean, both of them, you know, can deliver in the ring when they need to. So I think it's going to be a pretty solid back and forth. You know, probably Drew is going to be the one carrying it from the technical side of it. Jinder will be more in the storytelling aspect, I believe. But for this first match, in this little rivalry, I think Jinder's going to come out on top for this one. And up next we have another one that was, I believe was made official, either this week or last week on Raw, is Sheamus versus Damian Priest for the United States Championship, which I'm happy and excited about this one, because I am a fan of Damian Priest. I've been a fan of his since I saw him in Ring of Honor as Punishment Martinez. And Sheamus, I am a fan of Sheamus. I mean, there were a couple of times where I just felt like I was kind of annoyed by him being there, but, you know, overall, I've been a fan of him since he, you know, debuted in WWE's ECW back in 2009, and I kind of stumbled over that, WWE-CW, that's what I meant, yeah. And so I think it's going to be a pretty solid match, very good wrestling match, and especially, boy, they've been building up Damian Priest since his partnership with Bad Bunny going into WrestleMania this year, which that was actually a surprisingly very good match, and, you know, props to Bad Bunny for that one. And I predict Damian Priest coming out on top in this one, unless there's another case where they want to probably save it for the next pay-per-view, which I don't know, it's either next one is either Extreme Rules or Clash of Champions. I'm not 100% sure on that, but either way, I'm good. And then come up another match that, you know, they've been building it up as, was it the 8 years in the making? No, 5 years, 4 or 5 years in the making since 2014, I believe. So then it would be 7 years in the making, yeah. Edge and Seth Rollins, and, you know, say, why I say it's 7 years in the making, because it goes back to that episode of Monday Night Raw where Edge and Christian were guests, and Seth Rollins, this is when Edge was still, you know, not cleared to wrestle ever again, and Rollins had his boot on Edge's neck and, you know, threatened to break his neck and put him in a wheelchair. But, of course, Edge made his triumphant return at the 2020 Royal Rumble, which is one of the best returns that I've ever seen. And then they had their little moment in that match where Edge eliminated Rollins. And then again in this year's Rumble, Edge eliminated Rollins, and Edge went on to win this Rumble match. And Rollins has also felt like he's been slighted by Edge because he's, in his eyes, he stole his Universal Championship opportunity from him by going against Roman at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which that was a great match also. And Rollins lost the Money in the Bank ladder match, and he's angry about that, and he cost him the Universal title match at the pay-per-view, so it's building off of that as well. And I think this was originally the planned match for last year's SummerSlam, until Edge had gotten injured in the match that he had with Orton, you know, the one that they billed as the greatest wrestling match ever, which I still haven't seen that match. I probably should have by now, but that's all right. Sorry, excuse me, a little gassy from dinner. but this I predict to be potential show stealer of the entire night. I mean, there's quite a few of them, which it's funny enough, it's a lot of them are the SmackDown matches that I'm predicting to be the big ones that are going to steal the show. But this one, I feel very much so, because we know what Rollins can do in the ring. He's the architect. He's, you know, the Monday Night Messiah, all that good shit. And Edge is Edge. He's the ultimate opportunist. He's the rated R superstar, the WWE Hall of Famer. And his career speaks for itself. You know, main eventing with Undertaker and John Cena and Shawn Michaels and Batista, you know, matches with the Hardys over the years, you know, Edge and Orton as well. Edge can, he can go with just about anybody, and this match, you know, being hyped up ever since Edge returned last year, and this is a match that fans have been wanting for a long time, so we're finally going to get it, And yeah, I feel like this is going to be potential match of the night, potential match of the year candidate as well. You know, it'll be right up there with the triple threat main event from WrestleMania with Edge, Cena, and Edge, Roman, and Daniel Bryan. And for this one being the first match, and I feel like they're going to get a few more matches out of it, I predict Edge being the one to win this one. Although, it wouldn't surprise me if Rollins wins it with a chicken shit heel kind of victory. Either way, I'm sure I'll be plenty satisfied. And then next up, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship match. A rematch from WrestleMania is Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. And another match that I believe has the potential to be match of the night and match of the year. Although, their match at WrestleMania is going to be hard to top because that was a great match as well. But this one... now that we have a very clear babyface Bianca and a clear heel Sasha Banks, the dynamic is going to be a little bit different now. The story is going in a different direction, and I'm okay with that. I love that idea because, you know, I love matches that tell a great story, and that match at WrestleMania told a phenomenal story, and I feel that they're going to they'll be able to recapture and possibly surpass what they set at WrestleMania. And for this one, I mean, I'm not a fan of the 50-50 back and forth when it comes to championships, especially. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha Banks is the one to come out on top here, especially because Sasha has, this is her redemption. She's redeeming herself from losing at WrestleMania and trying to prove to Bianca that her win was a fluke victory kind of thing, you know, and that trying to prove to herself, to the world, to the Bianca that Sasha Banks is the legit boss, that she is the blueprint of the WWE women's division, that she is the top of the food chain. And so I think Sasha Banks is going to come out on top for this one. And then next up, also from SmackDown, we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's the Usos versus Rey and Dominic Mysterio. And they had a great match at Money in the Bank. So I'm predicting something equally as good or possibly better this time around. And I don't know why I have this feeling, though, especially the way they've been building it up the last few weeks, that I feel like possibly Dominic turning on Rey Mysterio... Although it might be maybe too soon for that, because Dominic hasn't really established himself quite at that level yet where he could have a believable heel turn. But, I mean, wouldn't surprise me, because I feel like they have been kind of planting little seeds here and there. But at the same time, they might just, you know, they could swerve us and they could win and continue being the babyface tag team that they have been. Or Usos can just come out on top and the Samoan bloodline... You know, will reign supreme at this SummerSlam. But either way, this is another one where I won't mind it, whoever wins either way. And then next up, for the Raw Women's Championship, it is Nikki A.S.H. versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. And, yeah, to kind of quote what Jimmy Corderas had said on his Ref and Rant on Twitter... I'm less excited about this match, especially after the events of Raw this past week, and quite a few matches, honestly, that I'm not that excited about. And the next one, the other one will be the next match that I discuss, but staying with this match, yeah, I am a fan of all three women. I mean, I love Nikki, not 100% a fan of the Nikki A.S.H. character. I love Rhea Ripley, although I wish that they would, you know, make a decision. Is she a babyface? Is she a heel? I don't know. And Charlotte Flair, to me, Charlotte Flair is the best woman in the WWE right now. She is the best in-ring performer and the best overall character, in my opinion. And you know, when she talks about being the queen, being the best, she is, no doubt about that. She is the best woman in WWE right now. But this is another case where, you know, I hate the back and forth, you know, 50-50 kind of booking and the, you know, title swapping all the time. So... On one hand, I want Nikki to have a lengthy title reign, but her title reign to me has been very underwhelming, and that's a disappointment because I'm a big fan of hers, and I was genuinely happy when she won the championship by cashing in her Money in the Bank contract on Charlotte Flair. But I kind of see her being a transitional champion, Which is, I mean, you know, that's the story that they might want to tell. So, but whether it would go to Charlotte Flair or to Rhea Ripley is, you know, what I'm not sure about. But I'm leaning more towards possibly Rhea Ripley coming out on top this in this one. And moving on to the main event for the Raw side, we have WWE Champion, the almighty Bobby Lashley, taking on Goldberg. Now, I'm not excited about this match at all for quite a few reasons. One, the biggest reason being, don't want Goldberg anywhere near the championship at all, in any way, shape, or form. I mean, because he had the match with Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble and lost. So now he's having a match with Bobby Lashley. Why? He lost to Drew McIntyre, and then Bobby Lashley beat Drew McIntyre. So what makes us think that if Goldberg couldn't beat Drew, but Lashley beat Drew, how are we to believe that Goldberg can beat Lashley? You know, that storytelling is illogical, in my opinion. Because Drew beat Goldberg, therefore Drew is better than Goldberg. But then Lashley beat Drew, so that means Lashley would become better than Drew and Goldberg. So how is Goldberg a fair contender to fight Lashley? I mean, a believable contender. I mean, I'm sure there are people who are excited about it. Good for them. I'm just personally not excited for this match at all. It might not be a bad match. Who knows? I mean, it might actually be pretty good. You know, it's just, I would have much rather have it preferred it been the rumored match with Brock Lesnar, like we had been hearing for a while. That I would have preferred that much, much more. That one I actually would have been very excited for. But we're not getting that match. We're getting Goldberg. But I'm predicting for Lashley to win, and I'm hoping and praying that Lashley will win, because I do not want Goldberg anywhere near the championships in WWE at all. If they're going to have him on the pay-per-views, I'd rather it be an attraction match like what he had with Dolph Ziggler 2 years ago. Something like that. I'm okay with that. I don't want him in a championship match with anybody, especially world title matches. But I'm predicting and hoping and praying for Bobby Lashley, the almighty, to remain WWE champion. Which brings us to the main event of SummerSlam. It is the head of the table, the tribal chief, the WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, defending against the Doctor of Thuganomics, Peacemaker himself, the champ, John Cena. And this one is one that we heard rumors of headlining the pay-per-view that I actually am excited and happy that it is happening. Because Roman Reigns has been at his best since he returned to WWE last summer and has been doing the head of the table tribal chief persona with Paul Heyman out by his side as his special counsel. And this is Roman Reigns at his absolute best, and I'm happy that he's had a dominant reign as Universal Champion, you know, with matches with Jey Uso, the matches that he had with Kevin Owens, the match he had with Drew McIntyre at Survivor Series, the matches with Daniel Bryan, the match with Edge, the triple threat match at WrestleMania especially. You know, he has proven himself to be a dominant champion. And I absolutely love that. And John Cena, 16-time world champion, chasing that illustrious 17th championship. And I mean, he's another one. Almost 20 years in WWE, and his career speaks for itself. Countless, you know, Match of the Year candidates with the likes of Kurt Angle, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Edge, matches with Undertaker, matches with Randy Orton, matches that he had with Batista, matches that he had with Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. Even the Firefly Funhouse match with Bray Wyatt last year was great. The match that he had with Rusev at WrestleMania 33 was a great one. The matches that he had with CM Punk are phenomenal Match of the Year matches. So, and his match with Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam 2013 was a great one too. So, he is another one that he can go with just about anybody. He can have a great match with just about anybody. And the match that him and Roman had at No Mercy 2017 was actually a pretty good match as well. But, you know, for the purposes of this storyline, we have to pretend that match never existed. And in the promos over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks leading up to this pay-per-view, to this match, have been great as well. From both sides, Roman has gotten a lot better on the mic. Cena is untouchable on the mic. So both of their promos going back and forth, especially the one from last week that I'm from when I'm recording, it's the Friday the 13th episode of SmackDown. That promo was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and got me even more excited for this match than I already was. And this is another one that I predict to be a potential match of the night and match of the year candidate. And especially going off of the match that Roman had with Edge at Money in the Bank, this match has the potential to possibly be Roman Reigns' greatest match to date. Which, I mean, he's had some good matches before also. The matches that he had with AJ Styles back in 2016 were great. The match that he had with Triple H at WrestleMania 32 was a pretty good one. And the matches that he's had as Universal Champion this year have been great as well. And so, especially the dynamic this time being much different with Roman Reigns being, again, at his absolute best, and then Cena, you know, at the point in his career where he can have, you know, basically a 5-star match with just about anybody at this point. So I am very much excited to see what we're going to get out of these two this time. Because when they had their match in 2017, you know, they were both the baby faces. This time, Cena's the clear baby face, Roman is the clear heel. So the dynamic and the story is much different this time around. So, but I am very, very excited. And for this one, because I want him to continue being dominant, I predict and hope that Roman Reigns will walk out of it still Universal Champion. And so, and overall, I think this is going to be a very good SummerSlam. Again, I'm more excited about the SmackDown matches than I am for the Raw, but that's okay. But yeah, can't wait to see how this is going to go. And yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Minute Tights Podcast. It's kind of a shorter one than I've been doing lately. But yeah, this one, I wanted to primarily focus on SummerSlam and give my predictions for that, because I want to try to get back onto doing the pay-per-view predictions that I was doing that I haven't done for a year now. But yeah, I'm going to try to get back on that, and I hope you all enjoyed this, listening to this episode or watching this episode, either watching it on YouTube, or if you're listening to the audio-only version on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor, and now on Apple Podcasts. All the direct links to those are in the description for this if you want to check it out. And all my social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, if you like, my wrestling page on Facebook, Down for the Count, all those links are in there as well as my Patreon, if anyone would like to join that and help give me a little couple of bucks. And also my Minutize podcast store, where you can get some nice merchandise that I've been trying to come up with some good designs on there. I just recently debuted another wrestling-inspired Zack Snyder t-shirt inspired by the Paul Heyman guy and Paul Heyman girl t-shirt I did. I'm a Zack Snyder guy and Zack Snyder girl. You can all check those out in there. I have other Zack Snyder-inspired merchandise in there for anyone who's a Zack Snyder fan. And, yeah. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, and subscribe if you are a subscriber, or if you're not subscribed, please do so. And hope you all do well, stay safe, take care of yourselves and your loved ones, stay healthy, and I love and appreciate every single one of you who tunes into these whenever I do them. I'm going to try to get these up as often as I can, because again, new job, and schedule is not the steadiest, which is okay by me. I start, my official start is this coming Monday, the 23rd, yeah, the 23rd, August 23rd, is my, when I officially start. This week, I'm just training, so, yeah, once I get a better idea of what my schedule is going to be, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to try to get these out at least once a week again, like I used to. But yeah, hope you all enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week, and have a wonderful weekend. This has been the Minutize Podcast. I am Julian, and I hope I will see you all on the next one.